Welcome to Facility Files. My name is Elizabeth Ignatowitz. Yes, that's a mouthful. Try typing that a million times a day. I am a seasoned facility manager, and I currently have my FMP, which is a credential through the International Facility Management Association. And today, our guest is Dallas, who also has an FMP through IFMA. And Dallas, forgive me, I don't know how to say your last name. So I will let you introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. My name is Dallas Schwerin. I am the director of facilities here at Trinity Episcopal School in Uptown Charlotte. Very similar to Elizabeth, I have my FMP. As she mentioned, I've been a longtime member of IFMA. I'm very much looking forward to this podcast and future podcasts. And you know what? Just to keep it kind of light and hearty here, we are starting 17 minutes late. That's courtesy of me. I am an FM. Of course, I'm going to be late for our established meetings. It seems to be running in the family.
Now, you have some great sustainability initiatives that you're working on. How are you tracking sustainability to make sure that you're, like, talk about your sustainability goal and how are you tracking that and what kind of KPIs are you looking at putting in place for that?
So it's in its infancy as well. I would say the sustainable initiatives are more in their infancy than the KPI. So I would say our KPIs are probably in the toddler stage. Again, looking at it from a school lens here. My solar initiative, so immediately what my board has asked me to look into would be the installation of solar up on our roof. We've got a really perfect roof in its current condition. It's a copper standing seam metal roof, and I'm very hesitant. It's 23 years old, so okay. I've got about, 50, 60 years on its total lifetime. I'm very hesitant to touch that. However, my new building would be a perfect opportunity to introduce solar and look at that. Another initiative that they're looking at is the installation of electronic vehicle or EV charging stations. Immediately when I got here, you can't see it, but just above me here, and of course I'm an FM, I look up at how many light bulbs are missing?
Right? Oh yeah.
So I'm actually looking up at one right now. Anyway, I am one of my sustainable initiatives, and this was not directed or mandated in any sort of a way, but it's just in the mindset of a facility manager, I've got to get away from my fluorescent tubes and go to a more sustainable option for lighting. That not only creates the sustainable side, but it immediately and directly impacts the learning environment by providing a stable lighting source for the students within the classrooms or outside of the classrooms in our hallways and corridors.
Okay.
Those are some of those that I'm looking at. We are tracking all of our energy usage. We have natural gas boilers. I've got City of Charlotte Water. I've got Duke Energy as my utility provider. We're tracking all of those energy usages. I would love to get to some point in the near future. It's probably going to be a 2 to 3 year-long process to bring in indoor air quality monitoring and then tie that into my energy usage to overall create a dashboard that I can then roll up to my head of school, to my senior administrative team, to which I'm a member of, and my CFO is a part of that, but also broadcast that upward to our board of trustees and then outward as potentially a marketing tool for the school that we can put on our website. You know, we are a very sustainable school. This is what we're looking at doing. So that's more on the energy side of things, but I'm very happy that you asked me about the overall sustainable side of it, because again, we are a school, so I've got a cafeteria here where we are really driving forward more of the circular economy.
What is the circular economy?
Ultimately, let's take a look at this pen. So this pen has essentially one useful life. It is manufactured from the raw materials or potentially recycled materials, recycled plastics, which creates a circle right there within that plastic.
Okay.
But what happens after this pen gets to the end of its useful life? Can you take it and break it up? And this is a pen, right? Very small example.
Yeah.
If we look at larger examples, so let's take our food, for instance. So mm-hmm. if we compost it, put back into the earth to grow vegetables that are then used to feed, and then that creates a circle in itself. Essentially, to dumb down the circular economy, what that does is make what previously was a straight line. You have production, use, and then disposal with a couple of others maybe mixed in there to create a circle out of it. So now you go from production to use to disposal, but from the disposal, split, all of those go back into raw production or new production of new things, maybe repurposing. So it's the recycle triangle, right? Reduce, reuse, recycle. It's that maybe exaggerated just a little bit.
Okay. So how are y'all doing that with the cafeteria? Is it just through food or are you doing it with materials as well?
We are trying our hardest to. I've got a little over 400 students here at Trinity Episcopal School. It is very difficult to manage that, particularly in our lunchroom, because we have so many students coming in and out. But ultimately, it starts with buy-in. It starts with buy-in from the stakeholders. And at the very beginning of the call, I mentioned that my stakeholders are students. Mm-hmm. That's my primary stakeholder. However, I have adults that work here. So it's education to all of the stakeholders. It's buy-in from leadership. It could be more communication and marketing awareness around what those initiatives are. But ultimately, it's just constantly beating the drum on this is what our sustainable goal is. This is how we will get to that goal. And we can't get to that goal without all of us rowing in the same direction, not the right direction, but the same direction.
So would you track it by like tracking the trash that you're creating as it lowers? What are some other ways that you might be tracking that?
Typically by weight, especially with food compost. So one of the avenues that we're looking at maybe partnering with would be Crowntown Compost or part of Envision Charlotte over at the Innovation Barn. One thing that we're looking at doing is bringing in aquaponics into our school environment, creating not only a curriculum designed around it to further enhance and provide more of that communication there from the student side. Like if they see this in real action,
it's a buy-in.
Likely going to have the buy-in, exactly right, to participate in a program like that. So then they wouldn't be throwing away their plastic forks in our compost bin. They would truly be separating out, this is all my food goes here, my plastics go here, which will go directly over into our recycle bin that is then handled off-site and sorted and done everything with that and then reused in the production of new materials or in reuse of those materials in other fashions. That's how we're doing it, but it all starts with baby steps.
Absolutely. I am newer to sustainability. We've talked about this. I'm working on getting my SFP, which, remind me, what does that stand? Sustainability Facility Professional? Sustainable
Facility Professional. And I too am trying to go for that. You may beat me to it. So I look forward to learning.
We will see. It is self-paced. We'll see. I'm on chapter one. I'm learning how to calculate my carbon footprint right now, which is really interesting. And that's a KPI in itself that I'm going to personally track for my family. My company tracks our carbon footprint because, you know, everyone has the carbon net zero goals. Was it 2030 or 2033?
Some of those are pushed out 2035, 2040. But the overall,
right,
the thought behind it is the same. No matter what time that you try to get it done, that you try to bring in, you know, your sustainable initiatives and that carbon neutrality and all of that, the thought is the same.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting how wasteful we are.
Yes.
Sustainability, it is not just a fad. It is really to take care of our children, our grandchildren, and just going forward. So I believe it's super important. I'm glad, you and I seem to have the same values, not only with the sustainability, but just what is for our next generation. We talked about this last night. It's kind of off topic with KPIs, but you know, this podcast is to teach the next generation, and you have bought in on that through all the things that you're doing. You've been involved with the student chapter of IFMA for what, 16 years, you said?
Not quite that. I'm not that old.
12 years? I wrote it down last night. Was it 12?
I graduated from UNC Charlotte in 2015, so coming up on 9 years, but I've been in IFMA for about 10 or 11 years, started there with the student chapter.
Okay, that's where I'm getting the numbers. I'm adding them together.
But bridging that gap between the academics and the industry, I am only here because that path was paved for me.
Right.
My very first supervisor. Her and I grew a working relationship during my tenure at UNC Charlotte as the student chapter president. So when a position became available to work for her, she reached out directly to me. The network is absolutely one of the most important pieces of FM,
yeah,
but you also have to know what you're doing.
You gotta know.
Yes. Knowing who you know will get you there. What you know will keep you there.
Absolutely.